What's up, Conference USA fans? Welcome back to another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm your host, Sarah Rudolph, and we are here to talk all about what happened in week six of the football season and look forward towards week seven. Joining me here today, once again, we have Josh Yonas. I just love having you on because, you know, if it was just me here talking about football, I'd be making a fool of myself. You make me look good. I very much appreciate it. And I'm excited to talk about this week's upcoming games.
Yeah, same here. I definitely don't envy you because, you know, now that I've had to fill in hosting a couple times, it's tough. And, you know, having to do it on your own, too, is, yeah, it's...
I can't imagine. So. Yeah. Thankfully, we have a lot of fun blooper reels that at some point we'll have to show all of you. We have a lot of fun, a serious treasure trove. We'll have to show all of you here at some point how much fun we have on the set. But before we get talking about everything that happened in week six, look forward to week seven. Let's take a look at our top plays in football from around the league this week. Of course, we only had three games. We've got top plays from two of those games coming up here at number five. We have, here we go, Caron Hayward, 25-yard pick six here in the WKU versus Delaware game to the house.
Yeah, I mean, even the broadcast on that first angle didn't know that he had this ball. I mean, the physicality to be able to go up, swat this one down and bring it back. I mean, obviously, this is a great play in itself, but I think that this was such a huge moment in this game that really kind of flipped the script for WKU.
Yes, it definitely made a difference there at the end. All right, here we go in number four. We've got Logan Fife's 54-yard pass to the return of TK King.
All the way down the field and just makes an incredible dive. You know, great eyes by TK King to kind of track this one down across the middle of the field here. Something special brewing between these two, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later.
All right, here we go at number three. We have Mayton Mitchell, 71-yard pick six for New Mexico State. This one was beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, taking what should have just been, you know, a short completion there, pries it away from the wide receiver, you know, gets his paws on it and runs it all the way back. 71 yards, longest pick six in CUSA this year, and I think it was like the fifth longest or somewhere around there. It was one of the longer pick sixes of the year so far.
It was wildly impressive. All right, here at number two, we have, here we go, Logan Fife again, 48, is that 48-yard pass to TK King. These two, like you said, something special brewing.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were super excited to get on the field together. And obviously a great diving catch here at the end by TK King. But I think what makes this play here, you watch it again. I mean, 30's coming right down the pipe, you know, right at Logan Fife. He sees him coming, steps up and really kind of delivers, you know, probably had to deliver a little extra oomph on this ball because he knew he was not getting a good follow through on this pass.
Yeah, absolutely. He totally got rocked. It's a miracle that that was a completion. All right, here we go. At number one, Maverick McIver, 33-yard pass to Matthew Henry.
Yep. I mean, he's back on the top plays again. Just even with the defender draped on him, he manages to, you know, get his hands on this one. He's back in the, you know, top five and, you know, probably one of the best set of hands in this league that we've seen this season.
Yes, there were a lot of fun games. Well, I say a lot of fun games. There were two.
Really? Yeah, I think that's the beauty of Week 6 USA. You feel like you've watched like a handful of games, and no, it's like you've only watched two games.
Yeah,
they were just that good.
It is absolutely crazy, and we've got four more coming up this week. But let's talk a little bit about what we saw here in our Week 6 matchups. So. First game of the week was on Thursday, Sam Houston at New Mexico State. Aggies came out swinging, looked really, really good. Logan Fife again came out and showed why he is such a great QB1 for the Aggies, completed 73% of his passes for 255 yards and two total touchdowns.
Yeah, and that was something Eric and I talked about when we were previewing this game, is just the steady presence that he's brought to this New Mexico State offense, and I think he just continued to do that. I mean, I feel like, you know, every week it's been 250-ish yards, which, you know, over the course of a 12-game season, I mean, that gets you 3,000 yards. So, you know, he's really bringing something special to that New Mexico State offense. But yeah, really this game came down to the fourth quarter. Aggie scored 24 unanswered points. I mean, really Sam Houston was in this game up until that final frame. And it was one little spurt of scoring that just totally, you know, it was crazy. We saw kind of the same thing play out in both games where you had, you know, two quick scores that just completely changed the game. You know, that night for the Aggies, it was a, you know, they got a 3-yard rushing touchdown by Kadarius Callaway. A fumble on the ensuing kickoff, and then that turns into a short touchdown pass from Logan Fife to Josiah Charles.
Yep, a lot of great stuff out of the Aggies this week. We saw, you know, like you said, Sam Houston was in it there until the end, but what caught them was the turnover bug for sure. So they had three turnovers, including a pick six. Got to take care of the ball if you're going to win a football game. So that was tough to see there out of the Bearcats. But we saw him before, Nathan Mitchell, defensive player of the week with that 71-yard pick six. He also had 10 tackles, 7 solo tackles, looked really good this week. But I think that the biggest story storyline of this game was probably Fife and TK King connecting on those two huge passes. TK had a really good game in this one.
Yeah, and I think obviously, as we've seen, you know, Logan's been able to spread the ball around in this offense to some other guys, you know, PJ Johnson, Donovan Fappell. And so I think that they knew once they got TK King plugged into this offense, they were going to really take it up another level. And so we really saw a taste of it in the Sam Houston game. I'm kind of excited to see how they continue to use him because he's a little bit of a gadget guy. He was more of a return guy when he was at Wyoming before he got to New Mexico State. So he's capable of, you know, being a weapon in multiple areas of the game. So yeah, excited for the Aggies that they get another weapon to, you know, kind of give them another level potentially. You know, now they're 3-2. Mm-hmm. You go into the back half of the season, you only need 3 more wins to get to a bowl game again. So yeah, a lot of good things going on for New Mexico State.
For sure. And we will not see the Aggies this next week, but we will see Sam Houston, and we will talk about that here in just a second. All right, on to our Friday game, WKU versus Delaware. Going into this one, we knew it was going to be a fun game. Delaware looks really good. WKU looks really good. I don't know about you, but it was even more fun than I thought it was going to be.
This was one of the most entertaining football games that I've watched, like, since I've been in CUSA. And yeah, it was obviously highly anticipated, but it definitely did not disappoint in person. It was awesome just to see shots of the crowd there in Newark. You know, the tub was bumping once again. Commissioner McLeod was there in attendance, and even she commended, you know, what the environment was like, and just seeing, you know, they had all the dignitaries out. They had, you know, Rich Gannon,
right,
all their former Blue Hens that went on to play in the NFL, you know, on the sidelines. So yeah, they rolled out the red carpet for this one. Unfortunately, you know, didn't go their way, but I think they show, you know, before we really get into the nitty gritty, the amount of people that were just talking about this game, because that's just the beauty of weekday CUSA. And just, you know, because it was a good game, like, you just had a lot of people that were engaged in this game. They're like, you got to go catch the ending of this one. And I think after the end of it, you saw a lot of people saying, like, hey. And even, you know, Coach Helton, you know, he talks about it a little bit when we talked to him, but he said it, you know, right after the game as well, that Delaware is a really special football team. And, you know, they're here to, you know, make noise, be successful in this league. You know, they're not just a filler team for Conference USA. So I think they certainly proved that.
And I don't want to spoil too much because we will talk to Coach Helton here in just a second. But for you, like, what did you see out of WKU that really excited you and made you think that they are a definite title contender for the end of the season?
Yeah, and we talk a little bit about this in our interview with him. Like, we kind of know the things that are synonymous with WKU. You know, you got another great game out of Maverick McIver at the quarterback position. You saw a couple really big turnovers, which have been big for them. And you saw a defensive touchdown, which, you know, you look over the last few years, that's been something that we've continually lauded them for, is their ability to, you know, the turnover tops, to force mayhem, to score defensive touchdowns. So they got all of that. I think where I was most impressed in this game, we talked about it when we were previewing it, was, you know, can Joe Silver and this Delaware rush offense, you know, really exploit WKU as some other teams have this year. But have to give major props to the defense, you know, beyond the turnovers, that they were, you know, held the Blue Hens to 121 yards, 3.6 yards per carry. They had been averaging more than 210 yards per game allowed on the ground. So I think that's one place. And then you just saw, you know, you get a big turnover at the goal line that ends up really changing the entire game, and a big fourth down stop at the end. So it was just these other plays that, you know, really, you know, exemplified what they've been trying to do on defense, and just kind of the identity they're trying to change there.
Yeah, and you talk about, I mean, Delaware was in this game until the very end. We talked about the fourth down stop a little bit, you and me and Trey, we were all talking about it earlier. But then you look at, you know, WKU went 3 and out, had to punt the ball there at the very end, but that that play was huge for the defense too, or the special teams, I guess, because, you know, you get down there and you plug Delaware back on their own like five, mm-hmm. and then they have got to go the whole length of the field to try and kick a field goal to win it. Unfortunately, didn't go their way. But like you said, that's a good football team.
Yeah.
And they've got some good things coming their way the rest of the season. Fingers crossed for them that if they make it to six wins, that there's a bowl available for them at some point somewhere. But definitely some fun stuff out of that game. And this is the first time WKU has started 3-0 in league play since 2015.
That's crazy.
You threw that stat out, and I was like, there's no way. I almost had to go back and double check you on that one, because I was like, I mean, they've been in several CUSA championships since I've worked here. I could not believe that, but they're off to a really hot start and some exciting stuff coming out of the Hilltoppers.
Yeah.
Well, we will talk to head coach Tyson Helton here in just a moment. Stick around for that interview. All right, Conference USA fans, joining us here for our interview segment on CUSA Insider, we have WKU head coach Tyson Helton coming off of a really exciting week six victory over Delaware. Coach, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Coach, heading into the bye week, you're 5-1, 3-0 in league play for the first time in a decade. How would you describe the mindset and the momentum around the program right now?
Well, I think we got good momentum. You know, obviously, you kind of, the season is a marathon. It's not a sprint. So we're halfway through that. And, you know, the good thing is if we got a good record, but we can get so much better. And we got an opportunity this week, get a couple extra days before we play FIU to work on the things we need to get better at. But I like where we are currently as a team. I like how we're playing. You know, as you know, this conference has a lot of parity, and so you better be ready to play every week. And so, you know, you feel good, but at the same time, you want to keep that chip on your shoulder. You got to keep working, got to roll your sleeves up, and you got to look at every, flip over every stone and say, what are we missing? What are we not doing good? And because we got a lot of good ball ahead of us, and we play a lot of good football teams, so we need to get better.
Well, you mentioned the parity in this league, and of course, we want to talk about the Hilltoppers and the amazing things you guys are doing this season, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that you're coming off of two victories between our two newest members in Conference USA, Missouri State and Delaware, two really close competitive games. What can you say about the strength of the league thus far that you've seen this season and that you're going to be finishing out conference play here in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, you know, I say this all the time. I've been in the league since its existence. As a player at Houston and as coaches at multiple stops. And one thing about this league, man, for every time there's change, there's so many good teams that come in. And, you know, Missouri State and Delaware are two good examples of that. You know, very proud of our football team, though. We go back-to-back weeks on the road, and we talk about all the time, you want to make a run, you got to go win on the road. And, you know, the Delaware week was a short week for us. And so for us to be able to go get that win was big. You know, Delaware is a very good football team, very good football team. And they're going to have a lot of success in this league for sure. You know, but I love that where we are as a league. I think, you know, our conference has done a spectacular job of bringing in those teams that are up and coming teams that can compete right out of the gate. And, you know, again, there's just a lot of parity in this league, and it's anybody's game every week, and you got to show up and play. And so I like where we're as a league. I think there is an extremely high ceiling for where we can go.
That's awesome. Coach, when you look at the last three games, you know, obviously a big fourth quarter comeback against Nevada, holding on for two tight road wins in league play against a couple scrappy new members. What are you most proud of from your team during this stretch?
You know, the biggest thing is when you face adversity, can you respond? And we've responded every single time. We've been tested at multiple levels, you know, whether we were down and we had to come back, or whether you're fighting to try to win the game at the very end, or you're trying to put the game away at the very end. And so we've been tested in a lot of those areas, and we've come out with those wins, and we need to continue to do that for sure. We're about to hit a stretch here that Like I said, every week these teams are going to be very, very competitive, and we need to be playing our best football in the second half of the season.
So you're headed into a bye week this week, but you know, because of weekday CUSA play, you guys play next Tuesday. Right, exactly. There is no bye week in
college. There is no bye week. It is all ball all the time.
All the time. But you do, you look at this next stretch that you have, you get FIU at home, back in Bowling Green, then you head on the road to Ruston to play a very good Louisiana Tech team. How do you keep the energy up with this team heading into those games that mean a lot? And when you're talking about this next stretch of games, we're talking about you guys are playing for a chance to get into the Conference USA championship. So how do you keep the energy high? What are you looking for out of your guys going into these next couple of weeks?
Well, I think, you know, it's just our process more than anything. We got a bunch of really good men. I love our locker room. They like to work, you know. The one thing that I'll say about us were over the past several years, and now I've gotten experience with it, is you're having to kind of recreate yourself every single year. You know, we lose about half our football team every single year, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. It says a lot about, hey, we're having success. Guys have other opportunities to go places. And we've had to really work hard at maintaining our culture. And we have so many new faces this year. Close to 70% of our production was lost from last year. But what was really cool about us is right from the get-go, we found the right people that love the process. They're good men. They like to work. They love to play the game. And so, you know, that makes me feel good as a coach, right? You got a body of work that's we're halfway through the football season. You know the guys are going to do the things they need to do to go win football games. And really, as coaches, we're just trying to maintain that, right? I'm a regiment guy. I don't like, you know, throwing a wrench in there and trying new things, or let's change this day up or this practice up. I like our guys knowing what they're going to do from day to day. And as long as we do that, I think we'll be in a good place.
Coach, obviously WKU synonymous with, you know, high flying passing offenses. We've talked in recent years about the mayhem that you have caused on defense with turnovers and defensive touchdowns, and obviously you guys are still doing a lot of those things, but now we're seeing a couple other complementary pieces. We're seeing the emergence of this run game with Lavelle Wright and George Hart and Marvis Parrish, and even more of just kind of some foundational defense. I mean, just looking back to that fourth down stop against the Blue Hens that really saved the game. So speak to that, you know, with us about just how some of those other parts of the game have come along to join the other stuff we know you guys do well.
Well, Josh, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, everybody recognizes us as we want to throw the ball all over the park, and defenses are smart, and, you know, they go, we're not going to let this football team throw it over our head. So we have had to establish a solid run game. Been very pleased with our running back group. We've got three really good running backs that run the ball very well. Our offensive line has done a nice job. And that's helped us offensively, because a lot of the teams are playing three high safeties, or they're getting high and soft, and they're not going to let you throw that football everywhere. So you got to find new ways to win. And so far we've been able to do that. But to speak to our defense, you know, as much as I'm an offensive guy and I love watching great offense, defense wins championships. And our defense has stepped up to the occasion multiple times this season. Our red zone defense has been spectacular. The balls, you know, I don't care what happens between 20 to 20. You know, I mean, everybody says, hey, you want to have, you know, get less yardage and control the run and don't give up big plays. That's all great. Just don't let them get in the end zone, okay? And we've been able to make them have to kick the ball, whether that's a punt or a field goal, or we've gotten fourth down stops down there at the goal line. And we got to continue to do that. It's really our defense, to be quite honest with you, that I feel really good as far as they're the guys that lead our team. And I tell them that all the time. I said, it's one thing to play good offense, but when you got a really good defense, now you got a chance to go make a run. And I see our defense getting better every single week. And so that's really good to see. And hopefully we'll continue to do that.
Well, you talk a lot about the defense and how, you know, other defenses aren't letting you guys throw it all over the yard as much, but Maverick McIver still finds a way to make some big passes down the field. Tell us a little bit about your QB1, how he's fit into the system this year, and what you're liking out of him going into the back half of the season.
Well, I tell you, he's an older guy. He's been in a lot of fires. You know, he's played a lot of ball. He has a coach mindset. So when you're talking to him, he understands what you're trying to achieve. And that's been really good to see. He's a guy that's very careful with the football. You know, he's not a guy that's just going to, you know, throw it in traffic and hope and pray good things happen. And that's great to see as well. But just a good overall leader. He takes what people give him. And then he's very accurate with the deep ball. Very, very accurate with the deep ball. So even in the last game, we didn't get a lot of opportunities to throw it down there in the last game. Delaware was playing three high safety, soft coverage. We were going to have to run the ball more. But the opportunities Maverick had, he took advantage of it. And, you know, he's a guy that I think will also continue to get better as the season goes on. He's really just now starting to get comfortable with everything that we've been trying to do offensively.
Yeah, well, and I'm sure it helps when you have guys like Matthew Henry and Katie Hutchinson down the field that are able to catch just about anything in their general vicinity, as we saw a little bit this weekend.
Definitely.
But, I mean, what more do you think you could get out of him? What more areas of growth do you think there are for Maverick in this offense going into the second half?
I really just, you know, when you play high-level quarterback play, the biggest thing is seeing what the defense is lining up in and anticipating what they're going to get to. You know, when the ball is snapped, what you see in front of you is not necessarily what it's going to be. And so he's done a nice job up to this point of recognizing that. We got to continue to give him the bullets and the plays and you know, I always say the quarterback has the keys to the Ferrari, you know, and Maverick's got to get us in the right play. And he does, and for the most part. But we definitely would like to see that continue, that growth continue to happen. But make no mistake about it, you know, the quarterback is the leader of this football team. He's the guy that makes it go for us. And Mav's done that up to this point, and hopefully he'll continue to do that.
Well, I know in the coaching world and in the locker room, it's always next game up. All eyes are on the next game. But we talked a little bit about this at Media Day, Coach. I know there's some eyeballs on that CUSA championship at the end of the season as well. WKU right on the cusp of a CUSA championship victory for the last several years. What can you tell the fan base out there about sticking with you guys through the entirety of the season? Because that's what you guys are looking forward to come December.
Well, we got a great fan base, and they get the big picture. You know, they understand what it takes to go make a championship run. Obviously, when you have success as a program, that's a high goal for us. That's a goal every year that we're trying to achieve. The biggest thing is get to the championship. Let's start with that. And I don't talk a lot about during the season about championships. You know, again, I mentioned earlier in the episode about just going through the process and everything will fall into place. And more than anything, that's what we got to do. We got to stick with our process. We're going to play some tough games. You know, we're going to be tested. Our guys know that. And our fans know that. And I think there's respect. I know there's respect for every team we play, both our players, our fans, our coaches. We value the teams that we play. We respect those teams. And so we're always going to give us our best. And my job as a head football coach is to make sure the team is ready to play and they play at a high level. And so long as we do that, we'll see where we're at the end of the season. And hopefully we are blessed and get the opportunity to go play in a championship game.
As you guys are going through game planning this week, getting ready for FIU, and really just looking ahead to the back half of the season, what are the biggest priorities for the coaching staff, and how do you guys handle kind of, you know, allowing them to celebrate a good start to the season, but keeping them locked in to finish it out?
Yeah, you know, I think as coaching staff, we always have to say, what do we need to do more of? What are we not doing enough of? Who are we not utilizing as much as we need to? Who needs an opportunity? You know, I talk about all the time, a season is a marathon. And, You know, I've been part of a lot of teams that in the second half of the season, all of a sudden here comes two or three players that didn't play very much early in the season. And the fans are going, wow, where'd that guy come from? Well, that's just because a guy needed an opportunity. I think we have a couple of those guys on this football team. We need to take this time over the next couple of days and see if those men can help us. And I think it's healthy for the football team that you always have competition. Every man knows that they need to play at a high, high level to maintain their role. I think that's really, really good for the team. And so we need to just continue to flip over every stone, you know, keep squeezing and getting all the juice out of there that we can get out of our football team, and we'll be good to go.
That's funny that you mentioned that, because I know Trey and I were talking over the weekend, and, you know, KD Hutchinson obviously had a great game this weekend, and he's like, where's this guy been for them? And I was like, Trey's been there. He's been there for 4 years now, and, you know, obviously carving out a really great role for himself in the WK offense this year. But to your point, I mean, he's a guy that really just needed that opportunity, and he's, you know, certainly one making the most of it.
Yeah, and Josh and I were talking about, you know, who are we going to interview for this show this week? And we were like, it was really an all-team victory this past weekend. So we were like, well, let's get Coach on so he can talk about it, because we don't know one player to choose. But WKU has been a lot of fun to watch this season because of that. There are different running backs that are getting scores and getting chances. There's different wide receivers out there getting scores and getting chances. Defensively, you guys are all over the board. Not one guy, I don't think, on this team has can say that they put the team on their back every week. It has been a team effort for you guys in every single game. Speak to that culture-wise a little bit. I mean, you mentioned it now. There's some guys coming up that need opportunities, that are going to get their opportunities, but you guys really have been an all-around team this year. Is that something that you are working towards in the coaching rooms, or is that just something that's just kind of fallen into place with all these new pieces that you've brought on board this year?
No, that's definitely by design. Because we have so many new faces, and it does take a lot of time to truly know what is a guy good at, what does a guy need to get better at. And that's just not a game or two. And because of all the new faces, it has been a team effort. That's my favorite way to win, is a total team effort. And I think it keeps your team locked in. Everybody is saying, hey, my opportunity could be at any moment. There's not just one guy that you're going to throw the ball to or hand the ball to, or, you know, on defense, we play a ton of guys, and I like that because it keeps guys locked in. It keeps us fresh. And so, you know, it just makes for a good overall healthy culture. And guys, you know, the biggest thing to those guys is, I always tell them all the time, team success equals personal success. If you are for the team and you keep just staying locked in and doing all you can do and control what you can control, good things will happen for you. And that's my job as a head football coach, is to evaluate every aspect of the program at all times. And I try as hard as I can during practice to watch what everybody's doing, from the trainer to equipment manager to the service team guy, all that, because everybody's trying to elevate their opportunities. And when I see that, I want to give those opportunities. And that's why you see us as a football team right now playing a lot of different people, because we have the ability to do that. And our guys know that. And it makes for great competition. You know, a couple of our top players know, you know, if something happens, there's a man behind them that's going to play just as well. And so it's good. It's healthy for our program. And hopefully we'll just continue to elevate.
Well, and Coach, I almost didn't know if I wanted to ask this just out of, you know, superstition, but you guys have been unusually healthy compared to a lot of teams around the league. I mean, there have been multiple weeks where Jared's texted me and said, hey, we don't have any guys on the availability report this week. And I'm like, really? And I think that, you know, I have to imagine that kind of continuity, combined with the fact that you have a lot of guys that share that mindset you just mentioned of just kind of a next man up thing, has given you a lot of confidence as a head coach each week.
All right, Josh, knock on wood really quick before
answer
this question.
Well, I'll say this, Josh, I think we're no different than any other team. We've had our bumps and bruises. That's why I love this football team. They're a tough bunch. If a man has an opportunity to play, even if he might not be able to go, he's going to suit up and try to be ready for the game. You know, I mean, he's going to go out there on pregame warm up and try to go. And that's awesome to see. But we've had enough depth in each position. And to speak to what y'all were speaking about earlier, you know, let's take our linebacker group. We've played a lot of different linebackers. Well, a guy gets dinged up, he's maybe available, but there's another man behind him that's just as good. So let's give that guy the opportunity this week. So we've been able to do that, and that's a blessing, because down the stretch, I look back to last year, you know, we were a beat up football team by the end of the year. And so we were not the same team as we were from the beginning of the year, even though we made the championship game. And that's been in the back of my mind. Again, season's a marathon, and you need to continue to develop your football team throughout the season, because injuries are going to come up and guys are going to have bumps and bruises, and everybody needs to be ready to play at all times.
Well, Coach, it has been a pleasure to talk to you this morning. Conference USA teams get a break this week from playing the Hilltoppers, but you guys are back at it next Tuesday. FIU at home on ESPNU. Excited for that one. But thank you so much for taking the time this morning to chat with us, and good luck to you on your bye week.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys. Appreciate everything you do.
Thank you so much to WKU head coach Tyson Helton for joining us today on the show. The Hilltoppers have this next week off, but we have four other games in action coming up in week 7, and we are here to talk about our next round of weekday CUSA games. So we're excited.
Very.
Wednesday and Thursday games this week. We move into Tuesday, Wednesday games next week. But starting us off on Wednesday, October 8th, Missouri State at Middle Tennessee, 6:30 p.m. Central Time on ESPN2. What are we thinking about this game? I know Jacob Clark is still questionable whether he'll play or not, so it's kind of hard to make some predictions here. But anything else you're looking at for this week?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the biggest question, is whether or not he's going to be able to roll out there. You know, I've seen kind of a few messages, you know, one from Ryan Beard over the weekend that just, you know, says he's day to day and they're, you know, they think that he will play. And then Derek Mason, in his press conference, just talking about how, you know, he thinks that's who he's going to see, but he's having to prepare for both. So, but I mean, kind of taking it away from the speculation, you know, obviously we know what we're going to get if it's Jacob Clark. I think you got to feel pretty good about Missouri State in this one, just with, you know, Middle Tennessee's defense. Frankly, I think that Jacob Clark, you know, would have a big game, even if he's not totally 100%. But, you know, if it's Deuce Bailey, obviously we saw some flashes, you know, from him at the end of that WKU game when he came in. And, you know, excited to see if he gets the nod, you know, with a full week of prep, I guess more so really, you know, what he's able to do and, you know, just in this opportunity. So, yeah. And then on the Middle Tennessee side, you know, Nick Vadiato kind of doing very Nick Vadiato things over the last 3 or 4 weeks. He's been averaging 275 yards per game over his last three starts. And then I think the nice part that we've kind of talked about as we've, you know, looked for Middle Tennessee to kind of right the ship is, you know, the emergence of this run game, which Cale Middlebrook, you know, he's coming off a 100-yard game in the loss to Kennesaw.
Yes.
But yeah, it's just going to be whether or not they can put it all together and get a win and kind of stop the skid a little bit.
Yeah. So we'll have to see on that one. Again, tough for us to make a definite prediction on that one with the absence of any Jacob Clark news as of the time of this recording. But another game that evening, Liberty at UTEP, 7 p.m. Central Time on CBS Sports Network. I'm just going to be completely honest. I think this game is a lot more exciting than we thought it was going to be at this point in the season, as it you know, comes to who is going to win.
Yeah, and I think this is another one. We have two games that present a lot of intrigue because there's a lot of programs that are just kind of reeling right now and looking for answers and trying to find any sort of stability. Obviously, Liberty and UTEP off to some kind of sluggish starts, even though they've, you know, had some offenses that are capable of production. Obviously presents some other injury questions too, with the potential return of Ethan Vasco. He seems like he's trending a little bit more to playing in this one than what we've seen about Jacob Clark. But I think that's going to be, you know, exactly what the Flames need to try and get back on track. But you do go on the road to UTEP, to the Sun Bowl, which, you know, is a place not easy to win games, mm-hmm. as some other teams have seen. But really, I think the biggest question for me looking at both of these offenses is, you know, who can really break through, right? Because we've seen some moments for each. We kind of thought after the Jack State loss for Liberty, you know, they were still very competitive. They were very high powered on offense. They had over 500 yards of total offense. But since then, it's been kind of up and down. And then same thing with UTEP. You know, Malachi Nelson had a 400 yard game not too long ago, but then he turns around and has, you know, again, I think a lot of people would have a very bad game against Louisiana Tech defense, mm-hmm. but had a very bad game.
Yeah.
So seeing how he bounces back from that. Is definitely a big question mark too.
Yeah, so we'll have to see in that one. Again, that one's 7 p.m. Central Time on CBS Sports Network in the Sun Bowl. So we'll have to tune into that one. We flip the page to Thursday, October 9th, two great games that evening. I think the game of the week, though, when we're looking at it, is this Louisiana Tech at Kennesaw State game on ESPNU, 6 p.m. Central Time. This is the one that I'm definitely looking forward to watching.
Yeah, and there's ones like this. You know, I think we talked about this one being, you know, one of the top ones that we were watching. And really kind of going back to those other two games on Wednesday, like there's a lot of games where even if the teams aren't necessarily the best teams, they could present, I think either one of those games Wednesday could end up being a really good game.
Right.
Just in terms of it being back and forth, coming down to a late play. This one, I think, it, you know, fits that, but it also involves two of the, you know, hottest teams in the league right now. Louisiana Tech, we've kind of talked about them plenty, but going on the road to a Kennesaw team that, you know, seems to, in year one of Jerry Mack, kind of figured it out. You know, now that they've settled in with Amari Odom under center, you know, really have been successful on offense and have a lot of big play ability early on in games. But I think another thing we talked about with them a couple weeks ago is like, you need four quarters out of them. You know, it's great that you can come out of the gates and have these big plays, but you're going to need that, right? Because I think getting that early edge against Louisiana Tech will be great, but I think where they can beat you is by playing a complete game. So if you can't really keep it up and put your, you know, foot on the pedal a little bit, they'll, you know, they might be able to come away with a big road win here. So,
yeah. And we talked about this too, a little bit before when we were just prepping for this episode, but one thing, that Kennesaw State is going to have to work on going into this game is keeping the ball safe. Four fumbles in their last two games. Louisiana Tech leads the nation in turnovers gained with 13. So Kennesaw State's got to take care of the ball if they want to beat this Louisiana Tech team for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they're just begging for you to be aggressive, right? You know, as aggressive as they have been on offense and give them an opportunity to punch a ball out, to, you know, step in front of a pass and take it back the other way. Because, I mean, you know, obviously we know that, yes, they like to force turnovers, but they also have five defensive touchdowns. And even crazier stat that we figured out earlier when we were, you know, just doing a little bit more podcast prep. So Louisiana Tech is averaging 28 points per game as a team. They're only averaging 18 points per game on offense. Their defense is averaging, you know, an extra.
Crazy.
Yeah. So it's just crazy that, you know, they have that ability to, you know, change a game from that side of the ball. But, you know, for Kennesaw, just I think one other edge for them, they've really stepped up in terms of forcing pressure on their opponents. That's an area where Louisiana Tech, one of the few areas where they've struggled this year is allowing those tackles for loss. So, you know, if they continue to run negative plays and they can't get the offense going, well, the defense can only get you so far. Mm-hmm. So still got to get some points on the board from the offense. But I'm very excited for that one. I'll be out there in Kennesaw.
Nice.
Yeah, and really, you know, I plan to go to this game just because, mostly because I hadn't made it out to Kennesaw yet to see the university, go see some facilities, but kind of accidentally turned into quite an exciting matchup to go see.
Yeah, I was going to say that when we were talking about this game, like when it, this whole league, and we talked about with Coach Heldon, the parity in this league this year is even better than it has been in years past. Like if you told me that Louisiana Tech and Kennesaw State was like our game of the week at the beginning of the season, I would have done that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And because
in your face.
Yeah, it's just that, you know, new coach at Kennesaw State, we just didn't really know what we were going to get out of Louisiana Tech, and it has totally flipped on its head. It really does show you just what these teams can do in this league, how exciting this league is. Really excited you get to go to that game. That's going to be awesome. But that is my game of the week, everyone. We'll have to see how that one turns out. And I think, again, this is a big one for end of the season Kennesaw State's first year eligible for the CUSA championship, first year eligible for a bowl game. Yep. This is huge for them for sure. Trying to get to those six wins and make it to a bowl at the end of the season, or I'm not counting them out for the CUSA championship at this point either. So
never know. I mean, they're 1-0. So I mean, they're in contention as it stands right now.
So we'll have to see for sure. All right. To end out our 4-game slate for the week, we have Jacksonville State at Sam Houston, 7 p.m. Central Time on CBS Sports Network. Obviously, we saw a tough one for Sam Houston. Bearcats lose to New Mexico State this past week. It's just been a really tough season for them, I think, in general. Jacksonville State, obviously our reigning CUSA champions, but a lot of differences and things going on with that program right now, too. So what are you looking for in this game?
Yeah, I mean, to your point, like, I got a shout out, you know, Phil Longo. I was reading some tweets, which is some quotes from his press conference and just some of the, you know, optimism that he has for this team. And, you know, he still obviously is really rooting for his guys and just commending them on, you know, he was talking about Hunter Watson and it being one of his best games. And he was proud of the way his team was, you know, the confidence that they have on offense. So, you know, while the wins haven't come, you know, it's good to see that the coach kind of feels good about where they're getting. You know, maybe they can start to, you know, pick up a couple wins. I feel like, you know, I think back to Kennesaw, you know, last year, obviously they had the big win against Liberty, but, you know, you end up, you know, finishing the year with another big win at the end. So it's like, if you can just pick up a couple of these wins late in the year in the back half, just to give you just a little bit of edge going into the rest of the year. But yeah, I mean, for Jack State, I mean, I think opportunities present themselves, you know, just kind of all over the place in this matchup. You know, they've lost two straight in the non-conference slate after that win against Liberty. So just a chance for them to kind of get back on track. And I think for the defense, you know, you look back to their losses to Georgia Southern and Southern Miss, averaging more than or giving up more than 40 points in both of those games. I don't think Sam Houston's going to score 40 points on them.
Never
so
know.
I think the biggest thing I'm looking for out of this one is just a chance for the defense to build a little confidence. You know, even if it's not the greatest performance, even if you're holding a team to 20 points, I think it's got to just feel good that you're doing some part in helping the team get the win.
All right. Well, that ends our slate. It feels weird to only talk about four games.
It's great.
It feels crazy. But it does give us some time to talk about a little bit of women's soccer and volleyball, because those two sports are in full swing with conference play. Only 3 weeks left in the women's soccer regular season, which is absolutely nuts. I didn't realize that we were coming down to these last couple
of
games.
I know. You get so caught up in football season. And then, yeah, you look up and you're like, oh, man, the tournament will be here in less than a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I think the biggest storyline from this past weekend, Liberty beating FIU 2-1 in women's soccer. That was a championship rematch from last year. But as Eric in our office, who covers women's soccer for us, told us, it's kind of a jumbled mess as far as standings goes. He couldn't really give us much of an idea as to who may be the victor at the end of the regular season. So that one's definitely a little bit more up in the air. Who leads? WKU?
Yeah, WKU sitting in first. I think that's the tricky part with soccer, is like, you know, when you factor in the amount of ties that you get a lot more mixed up there, right? And you see the amount of ties just kind of looking down the standings here. There's been a lot. So, yeah, there's not a lot of separation. I mean, you're talking about, you know, just among the top six teams, they're separated by 3 points in the standings. So, it's going to be a fun race down to the end. And, you know, now with just kind of the changes to the tournament, you know, getting some more teams in there, makes it that much more exciting, because just more teams and an opportunity to make a run.
Yeah, it'll be some good stuff. So like we said, 3 more weeks left of the regular season. You can find all of those games and where you can watch them on conferenceusa.com. Go to the schedule page, check out women's soccer, and you'll be able to see all of those there. All right, volleyball. Lots of really great stuff there as well. 3 teams sitting at 4-0 in conference play right now. WKU, New Mexico State, and UTEP. UTEP swept Liberty in volleyball this past weekend, putting them at 2-2 now in conference play after they had a rocking start to the season. So I think the biggest thing here is WKU is still WKU.
Right, right.
4-0 in conference play. Some great stuff there. But you're seeing some teams step up now, I think. We saw it out of UTEP last year. They had a great season, another great season that they're putting together now. But New Mexico State, I think, has been a surprise for some people. And those two play each other this weekend.
Yeah, gotta love when you get their rivalry off the football field, off the basketball court. You know, just gotta love the intensity across the board. And, yeah, setting up to be a huge matchup with both of them undefeated to start league play as well. And yeah, I mean, it's awesome because I, you know, we saw it last year with being able to get multiple teams in the tournament. Hopefully, you know, that comes to fruition again this year too.
Yeah,
based on, you know, rankings and all that stuff. Haven't really delved into all that, or
we'll leave that to Jess.
Yeah, yeah, we'll let Jess on later on to help us.
We'll let Jess cover that. But like we said, UTEP versus New Mexico State at New Mexico State, the Battle of I-10 Volleyball Edition this upcoming weekend. If you want to see where you can watch that and check out game times, ConferenceUSA.com is the best place for you to go. All right, everyone. Well, that is all that we have for you today. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like to find us on YouTube and watch all of our episodes, just go over to YouTube.com, search Conference USA, and you will be able to find the entire CUSA Insider podcast right there on our homepage. If you're still listening audio only, we love you the same. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. And be sure that you are following us on social media at CUSA Insider Pod so you never miss an update or a new episode. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, signing off.